ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi there, I'm Sam Hawley, host of ABC News Daily. Our podcast covers one big news story each weekday in just 15 minutes. From history-changing world news to cost-of-living concerns at home, expert guests and ABC journalists explain what matters most. Follow the ABC News Daily podcast on the ABC Listen app.
Jez, have you ever, failed at something?
How long have you got? How long is this episode?
Okay, wait. Failed at something, really stuffed it up, that in rehearsal or in your room or when practicing, you got completely perfect, and then when it came to the moment, boom.
Yeah, I feel like that happens on quite a regular basis, and it's because a lot of my work is live TV, right? And there is no predicting what's going to happen with all the rehearsal in the world.
Yeah.
There's no predicting what can happen. I can't, microphone fails, mm-hmm. wardrobe malfunctions in a professional setting, but also, cakes collapsing. there's no amount of, following the recipe and all this sort of thing that will guarantee what the result is going to be. So
you do pronounce things correctly. The one thing I often do is I practice, and then it gets to the actual moment and I can see it coming up on the auto cue and I run towards it like I'm hurdling it. I get faster and faster and then I say it wrong. And I was done.
Yeah.
I've just got it wrong and I just have to keep going and apologise for being human.
Yes, yeah.
But that's something that you've perfected.
Well, I have not, but I think I'm more comfortable with my imperfection now and I kind of take judgment less seriously than I did when I was younger.
Yeah. That was a big thing with me starting the drum, actually. I started to be so worried that I would say something wrong or do something wrong when I was starting out that I had to have someone say to me, you make mistakes, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's part of it. What will happen?
That's what you a good producer will do. Mads does that with us all the time, right? Yeah. We'll just say, you're okay. Everything's fine. Yep. It's like we're being parented, really.
You're not perfect.
But you're beautiful.
Palpably. Well, I've been thinking about this a lot because I've been watching, Jez, the Winter Olympics.
Oh, yes. You've gotten right into it, haven't you?
Yeah, I do love the Olympics. But I don't normally I watch the ice skating. This time I've watched a lot more of it than I normally do, actually, for some reason. I think the coverage has been really good. It's been pretty exciting. And have you caught any glimpses?
Yeah, mostly social videos I've watched. I've followed that case of the guy who did the backflip, where you mm-hmm. do the backflip and then land on one leg. And there's a woman who, Surya Banali, who was a skater who did it some years ago and was disqualified, I think, or certainly lost points.
It wasn't legal to do at the time.
Yes.
When she did it. And she thought
and she that executed
by landing
it perfectly,
on one leg,
yeah.
one foot, it would protect her. It would be okay instead of two, but it didn't. And she still wasn't allowed, but I don't think it affected her overall ranking. But the attacks that she got from that, people are put down to race and for many years. And now we have, Ilya Malinin, who's an incredible skater, who I want to come back to. But the reason I'm talking about getting things wrong is because we love seeing people win at the Olympics, gold, Olympic gold champion. Seeing someone like Cooper Woods in the moguls was pretty amazing because he wasn't expecting to win and had a couple
Real
of rough
come
days.
From behind kind of victory.
And then executed this. And witnessing the elation of someone getting a gold medal. And he's just bruh. I love the body language. I love the sheer joy of it all. But I've also been really fascinated by the failures, by watching athletes who have put absolutely everything, they and their teams and their families, into getting a particular shade of medal and not getting it. And how do you cope? I think it does actually teach us a lot about failure.
I am interested in this idea of failure.
Or whether it's failure.
Or whether it even
constitutes
failure. Because I could ski downhill...
At all. And not hit a tree.
It would be such a victory.
Yeah. Jez, you admit.
And so I look at these people and I just have such admiration. I can't ski. I have skied before, but I can't really do it very well.
Yeah.
And I look at these people and, like, just knowing that the conditions that they would have had to train in a country that barely has any snow, to achieve that level of competition and to hold it up to the rest of the world, the other countries, I think it's so incredible.
I agree with that to even be there. But imagine being someone like Scotty James, Australian snowboarder.
Yeah.
He is very charming, very charismatic, considered one of the greatest ever snowboarders, and has won a bronze at the Olympics, has won a silver, and this was his turn for gold. Like, he's the highest ranking. He's actually exceptional to watch. I just love those really good snowboarders who are just so, like,
it's like they're just so effortless.
Yeah, they're just cruising. They just happen to be, like, flying out of this, what they call it, the icy taco or the frozen taco or something.
So what went wrong for him?
Well, there was a bit of a problem with his first run, but in the last one he tried something a little bit trickier and he kind of stumbled. And his second run had been great. And we knew how much he wanted this, how much was riding on it. I'd seen a lot of the interviews beforehand and he was like, pressure can be a beautiful thing. You really just kind of have to soak it up and use it. There was a moment when he was standing on the podium getting his silver and he was trying to be happy, but he's got tears in his eyes. And, yeah, they're the moments that you – because I've been waiting for days for that race. I just couldn't wait to see him do it. And he did make history because he was the first Australian to win 3 Winter Olympic medals, right? And he's a 4-time world champion. And when Tora Bright, who's a former snowboard champion, was on telly talking through tears and she was saying he ran out of pipe because he was willing to give it everything, all that he had to gain that gold medal round his neck – she said, heartbreak and greatness stand side by side. She said, oh, Scotty, we love you no matter what. And that's the thing. Just imagine doing that and how much you've worked and you get to it and then you fall or something doesn't go wrong and you're trying to cope with that and then suddenly microphone in your face. How do you feel about that? You just screwed up. Everyone's watching. What do you reckon? That was a bummer. Like to keep it together.
Yes.
In that period, and he's saying, you know, and immediately afterwards he's saying, I'm really proud, obviously. It's hard to win medals, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a bit disappointed. I've got big ambition. But it is what it is, and the show goes on. The sun will rise tomorrow. My little boy will need me tomorrow. He won't care what medals around my neck. To be honest, everyone back in Australia, you know, thank you. And he said, you know, that when he was asked what the 15-year-old him would have said to him now, he said he'd say, put a bloody smile on your face, you still can go have a beer. I'm just going to keep chipping away. I love what I do, you know. And he also took a great little video of him with his son and he gives his son his medal and puts it around his neck and the son just takes it off, just not interested in it, kind of walks over it to go off and do something else. And it's that sense of perspective and what you kind of need psychologically. I've also been really, really interested in Ilya Malinin, who you mentioned before. He's 21 years old and he is an unbelievable ice skater. Like the kind of ice skater that comes along every 50 years. You know, he is watching him is like he makes everything look so effortless. And Scott Hamilton, who was an Olympic champion in 1984, said, you should brace yourself if you haven't seen him compete. He does these ninja flips and rotational things that didn't exist before. He's so different than anything we've ever seen. It's like he's come from 50 years in the future to show us how far the sport has come. Another Olympic champion said, honestly, he's doing tricks that we used to laugh about. It's not just we can't do it now. No one will ever be able to do that. He does this thing called the quad axel, which is a quadruple spin in the air, which is really like 4.5 spins in the air that he makes look
really. So you kind of lift yourself off the ground, do 4.5 spins and then land back down and just keep
on
going
one foot and
like
you keep
nothing
going.
Happened. Right.
First person to ever pull that off in
of
competition.
Course.
So there's been a lot of speculation. Like he landed his first quad jump when he was only 13 and so he was called the quad god on Instagram. And then there were national championships in the US and he came second. This was in 2022, but they didn't choose him for Beijing. So he says he just stayed back and he got better and better and better. And he is a fancy pants ice skater. You know, he will do the flips, as you said, just for the fun of it. The back flips that Novak Djokovic was watching him and just stood up and absolutely applauded, which was at the end of the team event where he pulled them through to get gold.
Are some of these moves legal / illegal? Like, what makes them?
They're
move?
All legal,
right?
They're okay. all legal.
But they haven't always been legal?
They haven't been physically able to do it.
Ah.
He can do it and no one else has been able to do it before. Right. A lot of people have never even tried it. So right. he's incredible and he's very ambitious. He's like, I want to revolutionise the sport. He's like, both of his parents were Olympic skaters. He's got these like blue eyes and blonde hair and like he's got this one spin, one move called the raspberry twist and it looks like he's spinning inside a tornado. So a lot of anticipation about this being his games. He hasn't lost a competition for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And he did very well in the team event and then he came out for the individual and fell twice. Twice.
What happened?
What he said when he came off was, I blew it.
No.
I just blew it. And it was kind of wild to witness. And it's also been interesting to go, well, how is he actually going to cope with that? He's already said before the Olympics, it's a lot to handle, the pressure, the attention, all the focus on you as an Olympic gold hopeful. A lot of the times I have bad days when I think about it and it really shuts me down. It puts me in, you know, not the best mood. So to unwind, he builds Lego race cars, plays Minecraft. His parents got him two kittens.
Right.
To help him with
decompress.
Yeah. But he then spoke about how he'd had dark thoughts enter his mind before he got up. He was the last skater to skate. And he put on this message on Instagram where he wrote, on the world's biggest stage, those who appear the strongest may still be fighting invisible battles on the inside. Even your happiest memories can end up tainted by the noise. Vile online hatred attacks the mind and fear lures it into the darkness. No matter how hard you try to stay sane through the endless insurmountable pressure, it all builds up as these moments flash before your eyes, resulting in an inevitable crash. This is that version of the story.
This doesn't sound like fun anymore.
It sounds awful, like to have to be able to cope with that. And also on a bigger, like this guy is obviously adored on social media. Mm. He's got heaps of sponsorships. He's already iconic. And then there's this introduction of like, once you open yourself up on Instagram, it lets all the dark into.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would be extremely difficult. I've had that before I've gone on air. I'm in like in a state of high adrenaline. I've tried to steel myself and I get like images of things that have upset me have come into my head. Like I think it's a real, and I admit that's not quite the pressure of being an Olympic hopeful. It's a little bit less.
No, but you can relate to it on a certain level. A lot
high
of people
pressure,
would be
and
high
how
pressure.
Do you control that and how do you stay through it? So he said the nerves were so overwhelming and especially going to that starting pose, I just felt like all the traumatic moments of my life really just started flooding my head. So many negative thoughts that flooded in there and I really couldn't handle it. So he's had a lot of responses of people saying, thank you for talking about mental health.
Yeah.
And thank you for being open about that. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of work for the people around him, I think, to kind of really back him and hold him up. But I think when you see champions keep going and recognise that you do the best you can on the day and that doesn't take away from your effort, your determination, your skill and your ability, it's an incredibly tough mindset, but it's really, really important. And I think it's kind of great actually to watch. I mean, I'm a little bit worried about melanin.
Yeah, I think it's a really great demonstration too that when we hear a lot about in sort of this, you know, modern pop psychology about the importance of mindset, that mindset is not necessarily impermeable as well, that it remains fragile, that you don't just kind of, you know, oh, just be positive.
I'm just fine now.
Block it out, it'll be fine. Like it remains even at that level of deep, deep discipline, very fragile.
And there was a Norwegian slalom skier, he's 25 years old, Jez Atle Lea McGrath, who messed up his final run, right? So he didn't get a place on the podium. He was expected to. Do you know what he did? Threw his ski poles, just left the run completely, disappeared.
Oh.
Went to the forest.
Oh, I saw that. Oh, God.
He said, I just needed to get away from everything. I thought I would get some peace
and quiet.
And he just
collapsed in the snow, didn't he? Yeah.
I can kind of understand. He said photographer, but I didn't get peace and quiet because photographers and police found me out in the woods.
I just needed
some time for myself. I think he said that it's harder for him to find perspective because he'd recently lost his grandfather. And as the Australian Chief of Mission, Elisa Camplin, who actually won Olympian gold in 2002, even though she broke her ankle 6 weeks before the event, said, if there's a particular kind of pressure when you're at the top of your field, it's one thing to win a medal, but to defend it is very different because you become the hunted instead of the hunter. So I don't know, Jez, don't you think it has an impact on people kind of watching? Like, I really love a gracious defeat.
Yes, so do I.
I love it. There's something about it.
Something so relatable.
Yeah. About
it. And the effort that's gone into it and recognising the effort, I think. You know, which I think most people can kind of relate to on some level.
Yeah, right? I tried on the day.
What it's like to walk on a road and not reach your destination.
Yeah. And this isn't the be-all and end-all. By the way, getting a silver is a really good thing.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's something that the rest of us won't actually do. I remember always watching Ian Thorpe coming out of the pool and he had this incredible grace in the way he answered questions.
Do you know who I think about? Daniel Kowalski.
Yeah, right.
Because he was, you know, outshone by Kieran Perkins at the time. This is way back when, you know, the golden age of swimming. And I always used to look at him like kind of just in the background and go, oh, he is amazing. The grace of that man to just sort of quietly persevere in the shadow of so much of the time of Kieran Perkins. Yeah, I mean, people like that do really stay in your mind, I think. And
what about the people who never expect to get anything but actually get a bronze?
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah baby. Or even to be on the team at all, the Jamaican bobsleds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which I'd quite like to try. I've never done a bobsled or a luge.
How do you
work out that you are talented at the double luge?
Or?
Lying on top of another person going on a sled.
Curling.
Oh, yeah, curling.
I do not understand it as a sport.
No.
But I am fascinated.
Yeah, curling. I feel like curling is really taking off.
Like what?
But where are the stories in curling? Where's physics? The champion who turns up every time and is accepting their defeat?
I always imagine they have pristine homes. Like everything is swept to within an inch of its life. Everything's finely polished.
You know what? I just think it's really important for like kids who are watching their heroes to see them cop it and be okay on those days, you know, because my nephews all are out there every Saturday playing cricket and they give it their all, man, their emotional highs and lows and prides, and when they're trying so hard and they get out maybe week after week and then suddenly they come back in and crack. You've got to just be able to see other people ride and know that there's such an honour to represent your club or represent your friends that you play with, or let alone your country.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I just think I think it's been a really incredible Olympics. It's been really fun to watch.
Jules, nice to catch up.
See you soon. See you on the luge. Imagine if we were really good at double luge. We only just found that out now.
What even is that?
Okay. Well, so you're lying. Imagine being on a sled.
Yeah.
You're lying down. I lie on top of you. Just flat on top of you. Like that. And then we just go as fast as we can.
That sounds like so much. I saw this online the other day. So many of these sports sound like a dare that just got out of hand.
And it's also minute, like you've had too much snaps.
It's an actual Olympics.
And you're throwing yourself off a mountain now. Right? They do things I've never even seen or thought of, or what the hell, like genuinely terrifying.
Yeah. And what are your joints doing right now?
Yeah.
Like particularly on the moguls. I go, holy moly.
Oh, the moguls.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam. It's like with a car with no, like...
Suspension. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like maybe we should head down to the park and see how good we'd be at the double luge.
I'll bring the sled.
You get to lie down.
You bring the
schnapps. That to me is... We'll see you then.